Well, if we look at kind of what happened last week, the Attorney General's office involved in this, establishing some constitutional boundaries for Montana. That is something that played out in the courts, since Tuesday last week. And Austin Knutson, our Attorney General, issued a ruling that goes back to this, I think it was a 1992 law that we passed with constitutional term limits, right? And then I'm not sure that they're effectively being applied here according to the Constitution. But we'll talk about that when Austin Knutson arrives. Public safety, human trafficking, want to get also on this big railroad merger. And I'll talk more about that, too, as hopefully in studio here shortly will be Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson today on Voices of Montana. Well, you know, I had a family reunion, and I know you got a big family, too. It was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I didn't pay attention to work whatsoever.
My family makes me do goofy things too.
Do they?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So thanks for coming in.
You bet.
I appreciate that. We got a lot to talk about too. You know, I was just starting, and Austin Knutson with us, by the way, Montana's Attorney General. We talk about you were the youngest member of the state legislature to serve as a Speaker of the House.
And I don't, you know, that's what people tell me. I've never looked into it, and I figure that $25 might get me on a Greyhound bus out of town someplace. Right. I don't know.
But you still look young though, too. So that's why it's believable.
Well, it's all the clean living.
How you been, by the way?
Been doing all right. Yeah,
okay,
busy,
good.
But you know, things are good overall, pretty good in the Treasure State. And we're running around. We're doing some law enforcement stuff here in town today.
Yeah,
but making a tour of the state here this week.
Yeah,
so
nice. That's yeah. Good. People want to talk to you. They want to hear what you're doing and hear your thoughts about things. So, what are they saying right now? I know we're going to go back to last week because there was a lot of things to kind of settle through there too. But what are people, when you get out in front of people, Austin, what do they tell you?
I mean, drugs is still the biggest thing we talk about. Yeah. Now there are other issues that come up, some things that are in my wheelhouse, some things that are not. I hear a lot of people talking about property taxes. You know, we're getting close to the legislative session. That's a hot topic. I'm not at all in the Department of Justice's wheelhouse, but it is interesting that, you know, typically that's not one that I hear when I'm traveling around, and I'm hearing that one a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of upset people about property taxes in Montana. That's interesting. But I mean, in my wheelhouse, people are still talking about drugs. We're still talking about crime. We're still talking about human trafficking. Those are all still real issues that we're facing. Our fentanyl numbers are way, way down this year, which is fantastic because, man, we had just an explosion of fentanyl in the state during the Joe Biden years. That's not a political statement. That's just a fact. I mean, our fentanyl seizures in Montana went up 20,000%. And again, that's a real number. But that's what happens when Joe Biden just opened up the southern border. Juxtapose that with the last year, those numbers went down about 80%. They're still high, but we are seeing a real, real measurable drop in fentanyl in Montana. That's the good news. Bad news, meth has gone back up. Meth has gone back up. Cocaine has gone back up. Those seizure numbers are back up. So we're still very busy in Montana on the narcotics side.
You know, and we'll take a break here too, but I want to ask the question about when do you get kind of over the hump a little bit? You're attacking drugs in school as well with education, and you're doing it on the ground. I guess sometimes it goes back and forth a little bit in terms of how aggressive we prosecute our laws, so to speak. What do you see? Is there a corner we can turn on this scourge?
I don't think we can afford to let up, Tom. I mean, the Mexican drug cartels are here. That's who's doing all of this, okay? And I say that, and I think a lot of Montanans maybe hear that, but they don't really believe it. You know, we still want to think this is Mayberry, right? You know, I'm from Bainville.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just the fact. I mean, 100% of the illicit drug trade in Montana is Mexican drug cartels. And I really need people to understand that. They're here for a reason. They're making obscene profits in Montana. Their product is worth very little down on the southern border. But if they get it up here into some of our more rural communities, they can charge a lot of money for their product. I mean, this just isn't long division. You know, this is economics 101. They can make a lot of money here. That's why they're here. I don't think they're going to give up. I think we're going to see them pivot. I think we're going to see them try to get in more from the northern border now. Mm-hmm. That largely has not been the case, but we are starting to see more of that. And I think that's kind of on everyone's radar. We're keeping an eye on some of our northern ports because the technology isn't there at a lot of those more rural ports. So we have to keep our foot on the gas pedal here.
It's been one of your priorities since you took office. You're in your second term now as well as sex trafficking. And we can't let up on that too. There's a case to talk about. We'll take a break and come on back with more. A case to talk about that that involves that. And then there's a few other things to talk about too. Some political play in the state legislature, but term limits. You know, what are they for? That's the question I think we're going to need to ask. And then the railroad merger, right? I'm glad Austin Knutson's in studio because I would have spitballed my way out of a career. He serves as Montana's chief legal officer and chief law enforcement officer. Austin Knutson in studio, Department of Justice, and our attorney general. Before becoming attorney general, of course, practiced law in northeastern Montana, served as Roosevelt County attorney. I'm heading up there tomorrow, by the way, Austin. I'll pass around your good wishes for everybody.
Awesome.
We're going to Culbertson for the Farmers Tour, and we'll be at C&B Operation.
Good.
They got a big spread there, too.
That's brand new. I mean, that thing's impressive. Yeah, it used to be in an old building right downtown, and some friends of mine owned, and C&B came in and built a big new John Deere dealership over there, and it's pretty impressive over there on the east side of town.
Super exciting that they have some revitalization there as well. And then there's a fertilizer plant going in too.
Well, that's the rumor. That's actually right out by my family's place. That's just a couple of miles. That thing's supposedly going to go at the old ghost town of Lanark. If you know, eastern Montana, it's right on Highway 2, halfway between Culbertson and Bainville.
Yeah.
Big flat open spot there, but that's almost where my family farm is at. We're real close to that. So that's been an interesting one. I get a lot of outreach about it, but I mean, candidly, I don't know much about it because it doesn't really touch my office.
Right, yeah. And then Wolf Point, Sherman Inn, and that's open, by the way. We go 9 o'clock, C&B Operations in Culbertson, and then Sherman Inn, Wolf Point, starting at 9 o'clock as well. And we're going to talk about revitalization and some of the things that are necessary in terms of keeping that rural spirit alive, too, right? And you're a rural guy. What do you think when you talk about what's it going to take to make rural America stronger again?
Well, I mean, look, I look at where I'm from. I look at the High Line. I mean, obviously, we've had some rough years. Bainville, Culbertson, up there in northeastern Montana, we've gotten some spillover from the Bakken oil field. And so that's brought some good. Mm-hmm. It's also brought some bad. Mm-hmm. You know, I spent a lot of time doing prosecutions off the oil field and off of some of those people that come with that line of work. That's just a fact. But it did bring some money. I think it's going to take a couple of things. I mean, we either have to have a major turnaround in the farm economy, which candidly I don't see coming, or we got to have some kind of other industry come in. I mean, we've been talking just my staff and I, interestingly enough, yesterday we were talking about, you know, data centers. Where does that fit in? Is there a spot in eastern Montana where that could bring in some revitalization and some jobs? You know, we're a net energy exporter. We have power in the state, Tom. Those things take power. And obviously people don't want them in a big population center. I get that. But maybe that's an answer for eastern Montana. I don't know. That's something we're kind of kicking around.
And I think all those things have to be on the table when we're talking about it, moving forward rationally about it. So thanks for sharing some of that. Let's get into last week there. And I kind of talked about it as well. There was an opinion about the 1992 constitutional amendment that Montanans passed overwhelmingly. Joe Mazurek, he's a Democrat back then, initiated that opinion, said, you can't just I'm going to have you explain it. Okay,
yeah.
That's a little better have the Attorney General explain it.
Well, yeah. In broad strokes.
Yeah.
In 1992, there was a voter initiative. It was a constitutional initiative, but the people of Montana voted for legislative term limits. It's really that simple, Tom. It passed overwhelmingly. I mean, this wasn't close.
67%.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was 2/3 of the people said, no, we want our state legislators to be term limited. You get 8 years in the House, 8 years in the Senate, and then you're done. Pass the torch to somebody else. Now, we can have the conversation about, is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? I certainly got opinions on that, but I got to follow the law. That's what I do, right? And the voters were very clear. They put in term limits. Okay. Joe Mazurek, about just a couple years later, that was challenged. Joe Mazurek, who was the Democrat Attorney General at the time, he issued an AG's opinion, which has the force of law, that said exactly what I just said. 8 years in the House, 8 years in the Senate, and you're done. Fast forward about 15 years from then Democrat Attorney General Steve Bullock does another AG's opinion. He overturns the Missouri opinion and says, no, no, no. You can do 8 in the House, 8 years in the Senate, and then we're going to create out of thin air this 8-year rule that says, well, because you were in the Senate, that means you were out of the House for 8 years. You can go back to the House. So what it's created, that AG's opinion from Steve Bullock in 2013 set the table to where you now have a handful of legislators, and it's bipartisan, Tom. That mm-hmm. I'm telling you during the break. I mean, I know Democrats and Republicans who've done it. They just go back and forth. They do 8 in the House, 8 in the Senate, 8 in the House, 8 in the Senate, and they just bounce back and forth.
They're not term limited.
They're not term limits. So that's the functional reality right now, is because of this artificial AG's opinion from Steve Bullock, we don't have legislative term limits. I don't think that's what the people of Montana voted for in 92. So what I did is I issued another AG's opinion. I did away with the Bullock opinion. We went back to the Missouri opinion. It's that simple. I didn't do anything novel. I actually did what a Democrat AG did 20-some years ago. That got all embroiled up in politics and in the courts. Unfortunately, our state Supreme Court punted, which I think is a mistake. I mean, they're going to have to deal with this at some point.
Right.
They just decided they didn't want to deal with it right before an election this year. Be that as it may, this is going to keep being a thing. I don't think this issue is going to go away. But we were blocked by the courts basically last week from implementing that AG's opinion. So I mean, folks in Montana, just so you know, you got a couple of legislators who are, you know, one of them is well into his 20th year in the legislature who is now going to be able to be back on the ballot again and keep doing it.
The timing of all of this is suspect, and the courts said as much in terms of not really injuncting the process, so to speak, and I get that. But they also kind of said you may very well have merit in the case too. So what happens if there's that merit and they establish that, and do we go back and try to kick people out and shuffle people around? Or,
well, this was all about ballot access. This had nothing to do with we're going to kick people out of office. Yeah. That actually is not a thing here. This was purely about, can your name appear on the ballot? So this was not going to affect. So if hypothetically those couple of legislators who would otherwise be term limited do get on the ballot and they do get elected, and we continue through the case, right? Because all there is an injunction right now. The case is still moving forward. We're still in litigation. Okay. If we are successful, that doesn't mean these guys get thrown out of office.
Yes.
It doesn't work that way. Okay. It just purely means, can their names appear on this November's ballot? It looks as though the courts are going to allow that to happen.
I will appreciate getting this issue settled too. And who knows if it's once and for all. But I have been a fan of term limits. I don't know necessarily in Montana, they're as vital as I think they would be at the national level. And that was thrown out in that 1992, constitutional amendment. And so that's what I voted for. Right. So we'll talk about that. Maybe not. We've got a few other things to get on our plate too. We talked a little bit about sex trafficking. There's a big case to get into. There's a railroad merger that you're leading a coalition on, in opposition to.
Little gun case out of Texas.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, can Austin weigh in on NFA suppressor decision? Are Montana citizens protected? Yes, he can weigh in on that. Austin Knutson's in studio here today, Montana's excellent attorney general. We'll be talking about the sex trafficking case here that busted open in Billings. But what's disturbing about it is how vulnerable some of our populations are to this as well. So that's key. We'll also hit to this Union Pacific Norfolk Southern merger proposal out there. Austin Knutson is leading a coalition of state attorney generals opposed to that as well. So we'll get to those issues. And then let's go with this one right away. Austin, thanks for coming down. You look well. You look great.
Doing great. Yeah, thank you.
Good. Can Austin weigh in on NFA suppressor decision? Are Montana citizens protected? You're ready.
Okay. Well, you teed that one up great. This one's right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Tom, I'm a bit of a gun guy. So Montana, we were a plaintiff in this case. We had a federal district court decision out of the Northern District of Texas. And Montana was a plaintiff state. We challenged the National Firearms Act. The National Firearms Act is a piece of legislation that requires suppressors, silencer, whatever term you want to use, suppressors, silencers, short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns. If you want to own any of those items, you have to pay a federal tax, go through a very, very in-depth background check. Your name gets put on a registry, a federal registry that you own that product. It's quite invasive, Tom. It's not an easy process. Mm-hmm. That tax has been in place since the 30s. And it's a $200 per item tax. Now put that in perspective. That was put in place in 1934. Think about a $200 tax on a piece of property.
Wow.
Back in 1934.
Yeah.
And the idea there, the federal Congress was trying to disincentivize people from owning those items. It's that simple. All right. That tax was challenged in 1937. The U.S. Supreme Court upheld it as constitutional solely based upon Congress's taxation power. All right. Fast forward all the way to last year. Almost a year ago, last month, President Trump signs the Big Beautiful Bill. Inside the Big Beautiful Bill, Congress removed the tax on those items. It's literally $0 now. So we challenged the National Firearms Act, the constitutionality of it, because that tax no longer exists. Basically, the district judge in Texas agreed with our argument wholesale. He struck down the registration requirements and the federal penalties, because the penalties are quite burdensome. If you get caught with an unlicensed suppressor in America, I mean, it's hefty. It's felony. It's do not pass go. I mean, you go to Leavenworth. The judge struck all that down. Okay, what does that mean for your average Montanan? The question from your caller is, does that apply to all Montanans? The quick answer is no, unfortunately. And it isn't for lack of us trying. The judge issued a permanent injunction, but he was quite limited in who he gave it to. If you're a member of any of the firearms advocacy groups that were plaintiffs in that case, Gun Owners of America, Firearms Policy Center, there's a handful of five or six advocacy groups that were on that lawsuit. If you're a member of one of those groups, you are covered. As far as the state of Montana, the judge only applied it to basically state employees. I don't agree with that, but that's what he did. So that isn't the real issue in Montana, though. The real issue we've got here is that we've got literally four statutes, state statutes, Tom, that require a federal tax stamp to possess these items legally in Montana. Okay, so what does that mean? That means we got to change the state law. So we're kind of in this weird no man's land right now where, according to a federal judge, these things are legal, but according to the Montana law, under Montana prosecuting law, they'd be illegal. You'd still be required to get a Form 4, they call it, the tax stamp, the federal tax stamp for those items. So we're working on this. I've already got a couple of legislators teed up. They've already got bill draft requests in to address this in Montana. I'm issuing some guidance to county attorneys, to sheriffs, to police departments about what the state of the law in Montana is right now. That, you know, my recommendation is, you know, we don't want to prosecute these things because, look, they're federally legal. I don't think this is going to be a problem, Tom. I also don't think you're probably going to see a lot of retailers in Montana who are going to be in a hurry to sell unlicensed suppressors yet until we get some clarity. And look, we are trying to get some clarity from this judge. I mean, it's a bit muddy, but I think he's being quite careful and trying to avoid an appeal, which I think is probably a smart move.
Yeah, and that's what was my next question. I mean, you said it was a solid ruling. These anti-gun groups, are they tempted then because after this ruling to let it go or to pursue?
Well, it's not their decision. I mean, they're screaming, but ultimately who got sued is the U.S. Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Yeah. It's their decision. So it's looking positive. Look, we've got a very good new Attorney General, Todd Blanche. I've gotten to meet him personally. We've got a great new director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. I know it sounds a little funny to have me say that, but I'm telling you, his name's Rob Sakata. He's actually on his way to Montana today. We're meeting with him all week. He's never been to Montana. But look, I'll vouch for this guy. I've met him. I've been around him quite a bit. He's doing the right things at ATF. And I think there's a high likelihood they don't appeal this thing.
Okay. And that's good, because we just, everything goes through the courts nowadays. And
yeah.
And we just, I think we lose our minds sometimes. Common sense. You know, we gotta have it spelled out in black and white, but then we don't even believe in black and white.
That's right.
Yeah. Austin Knutson with us here too. Let's move over to sex trafficking, a big case in Billings. You know, what's the highlight in this for your office?
Okay, so the highlight for your listeners right now, folks in Montana, we have a sex trafficking problem in this state. Human trafficking is absolutely happening in Montana. I guarantee everyone listening to your show right now has seen a human trafficking victim in Montana. They just probably didn't know what they were looking at.
Wow.
And I mean that. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. This is absolutely true. We have a tremendous problem with this in Montana. Sometimes it's organized crime. Sometimes there are cartel ties, but sometimes it's just dirtbags who are trying to make money off of the slavery of other people. And this is just some of the most vile, disgusting stuff you've ever seen. What one human being will do to another human being to make some money. It's gross.
It should turn your stomach, people.
It does. You know. And I'm telling you, the more you dig into these crimes and how these pimps and how these traffickers operate, yeah, I mean, it will make you physically ill. It's gross. That's the bad news. The good news is we're being very, very aggressive about this at state DOJ. I've got a whole division inside of DCI that this is all they do. I've got three agents that literally human trafficking all across the state. But we had a I don't say a good case. It's a very ugly case, but we had a very good positive outcome. We arrested a really bad guy here in Billings about a week and a half ago. He was doing some bad stuff. I mean, basically he was trolling around the homeless camps, the homeless shelters, soliciting, unfortunately, women who are in a desperate situation. Yeah. And that's very often what we see in these cases, Tom. I mean, it's usually people who've been victimized, who are not in a great position in life. And they unfortunately are willing to do some things that, you know, most of us probably wouldn't, but desperation will do that. And this was a guy who was willing to exploit that. I mean, they literally had seen him trolling, driving around these shelters a number of times in the past, but could never make a case on him. We were finally able to do it. I mean, we basically caught him red-handed soliciting. Just a really bad dude. I mean, this is gross. So he's going to feel the full wrath of the Montana Code Annotated and the prosecution from the Montana Department of Justice.
And I don't know, but as sickening as I can get about the behavior, I'm glad that our justice system steps in there too. And but, you know, if we're not everybody's an Austin Knutson too. So, you know, how do you get on top?
Well, this is an interesting one. And you can tell I get kind of animated. Like this is what I'm passionate about. It was a big frustration when I first took office, Tom, because this was a topic that a lot of prosecutors, a lot of cops, it made them uncomfortable. And we didn't really have good statutes to deal with it. That's the God's truth.
That's,
I mean,
right.
and a lot of legislators, frankly, a lot of Montana legislators did not want to deal with this issue because, oh, that doesn't happen here. Mm-hmm. And this feels kind of yucky. And let's just not deal with this. And it took a lot of education on our part. It took a lot of shoe leather at the Capitol and, you know, whacking some legislators upside the head with a frying pan that this is reality. This is happening here. And our statutes in this state were woefully inadequate to deal with the breadth of this crime. So the good news is we passed a big human trafficking bill in the 23 session.
Yep.
It put a lot more teeth in the state code. It's now a first-time felony. I mean, before that, but before our bill in 23, Tom, you could get online and you could solicit sexual acts from a child, which is illegal, right? Let's just start with that.
Yeah.
And disgusting. You could do it up to five times under Montana law, and it was still just a misdemeanor.
Wow.
That was the state of the law before I came in office and we got the law changed. And I don't mean pat myself on the back. I just want your listeners to understand that's how inadequate our state laws were before. So now, I mean, we give trainings to all the county attorneys, so we make sure if one of these cases hits your desk, you know what it is and you know how to prosecute it, and you better be prosecuting it, more importantly.
Yes.
Because it was one that we were noticing that a lot of county attorneys, they didn't know what to do with them, and it made them uncomfortable, and maybe we just punt and don't deal with this.
You know, and of course, that's the wrong decision. And so you put it on their plates because it was a high priority for you, and they got some things done. And so that's good. Yes, we are on the road. It's For the Farmers tomorrow, as I mentioned. We'll be at C&B Operations at 975 John Deere Way in Culbertson, Montana. And then later on, we are going to be at the Stage Line, a bit later on, too, for the social. So that's going to start around 5 o'clock and Stage Line. Yeah, Austin's going to know this. It's kind of the home territory. And that's 602 South Avenue East in Culbertson, Montana.
Right on Highway 2. You can't miss it.
Nice. Good. They got good food?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, good all family. Right. Good family owns it. Good local family. You bet your life.
That starts at 5 o'clock. Come down for the show, too, at C&B, 8:30 to 10 o'clock. We'll be entertaining. I didn't leave enough time here, too. What's your favorite deer rifle? I got to ask that question.
Oh, man. I mean, a deer rifle, I mean, I could go 243 Winchester. I could probably the 30-06, right? I mean, just the good old-fashioned 30-06. I haven't hunted deer in a lot of years, Tom. I'm an elk guy.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
338 Win Mag or 340 Weatherby.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. There you go. Yep. All right. You heard it from our attorney general. This merger. All right. Let's get a few comments on it. Why is it important and why is Montana opposing it?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is not in our territory. Let's start with that, right? We have one railroad provider in Montana. That's Burlington Northern Santa Fe. And that largely is why we're opposing this. I mean, we know what a monopoly looks like in Montana, especially a farm kid, right? Like, I literally, BN's main line runs right through the middle of my family's property at Bainville. We've dealt with this. If you're farming in Montana, you're dealing with one grain shipper, basically. And that really is why I've taken such a hard stance on this. These railroad mergers tend to not be a good thing. We had a very large merger between a couple of the big players back in 2006. We were fed a lot of blue sky. Oh, this is going to increase efficiency. It's going to be cheaper. Things are going to get way better. Tom, it was an abject disaster. Literally, trains were clogged up and stuck in yards for months. Products were not getting shipped. Grain was not getting shipped. Corn was not being shipped. It literally was an absolute disaster. And since that time, to their credit, the National Transportation Safety Board has been much more hawkish about these mergers. And so that's really what this is about. This is a proposed merger between the Union Pacific Railroad and the Norfolk Southern Railroad. This will be down more south of us. Again, not in our territory. But there's getting to only be about two or three of these railroad companies left.
Right.
And if these mergers keep happening, we're going to be in a monopoly situation. They're going to be able to charge whatever they want, whether you're shipping oil or whether you're shipping spring wheat or coal. I mean, whatever the case may be, the prices are going to go up. It's less competition. The real problem with this one is, again, they made their application to the feds, and it was just a lot of blue sky. It's a lot of feelings, and it's a lot of rainbows, and this is going to, and it's the same thing we heard back in 2006. This is going to increase efficiencies and bring costs down. And the feds denied their first application because they went, no, you're actually supposed to give us some concrete data here, not just feelings and warm puppies. And so they tried again. We're actually urging the feds to reject that application as well, because again, it's very thin on facts. Long on feelings and long on platitudes, but really, really thin on facts.
Will they listen to the opinion?
I think they will. Okay. I mean, the Trump administration has been great. We've had really good communication with them, and they are listening on this issue.
You are pursuing, you've got a roundtable in Billings today with ATF Director Sakata.
Rob Sakata, the new ATF director. Look, I don't often say good things about the ATF, but they've been fantastic under his admin. He's the new guy. He's a gun guy. I like him. I've met him several times. He's coming to Montana to hang out. We're going to make a couple day tour.
Thanks for doing what you do, sir.
You bet. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.